You know, you see who I am here on Sundays, but I try to act pastoral and be nice and all kind and stuff. But I do have, I am almost bordering on sarcastic humor. And I try to keep it in tail. But about 4 or 5 hours into the trip, he'd say something, and then we'd just start playing off each other. I mean, it was brutal. And it was all good, clean fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I finally turned to him. I said, "You are a bad influence on me," because our humor was exactly the same. Poor Tom Lunger. Oh my gosh, he just got—he went along with it, but it was good nature humor with him, and it was good. But we had a good team chemistry. We won't talk too much about it, but because it's an ongoing process. But we've partnered with Ramon and New Generation Ministries. It's awesome. His strengths are our weaknesses, and vice versa. But starting this month, there's going to be 7 churches that their pastors are going through the growth journey, the same one that many of you have gone through here, that we wrote here 8-10 years ago, where we got the first book translated into Spanish, and by the Lord's will, we're going to stay ahead of them. And then they're going to take their people through it, and then they're going to teach those things on Sunday morning. So we set up a whole pastoral training discipleship that's really going to help that island. They're very good in worship, better than we are. But we're better at teaching and discipleship, and so that's what's happening, which is good. By the way, sometime before Halloween, Ramon's going to start finally, after all these years, a Spanish church in relationship church. We've been believing for a Spanish church for a long time. And so it's going to start. We're trying to work out the details. And so that's exciting. So there'll be a whole other group of people, and it's going to be all in Spanish, which was a key. We could have started a church, but we didn't know Spanish. And with him being Spanish and his wife being Spanish, I think it's going to be good, and God's hands on it. Let me just talk to you for a few minutes and talk about discipling nations. This is a big deal to me, and this is a big deal to God. As we know in Matthew 28, I'm just going to go through this fast because of time. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not just Christians." We have been very faithful here to come up with a discipleship, leadership training program, mentoring that has been great. It's been very, very effective. We've even trained leaders and teachers at other churches that have then gone back and taken it to where they went. We've come up with our own material and put it in a nice book form. And we've been faithful to evangelize Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus said to the first church, evangelize, disciple Jerusalem, then go to Samaria, which is your country, then to other countries. We've been very faithful to do that. Over about 50% of you have been through the growth journey, which is an amazing, amazing number. For churches. And our discipleship is very involved. It's a one-on-one thing, trying to find your strengths and weaknesses and where you should go. And the Lord, with this trip, I mean, we've had inklings of it other places, but fully called us to disciple a nation in this case, to help disciple Dominican Republic and its area. And this is on God's heart. And it's a big deal. And let me read to you this verse, Isaiah 61, verse 4. It's a prophecy about Jesus coming back. Remember, when he started his ministry, in verse 1, he repeated this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted," Isaiah 61:1, "to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn." And then down in verse 4, he does some more prophecies. Because of time, I'm going to skip them. In verse 4, he said, "These people that are set free, that have had this stuff happen to them, they will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations." Amen. And that's discipling nations. And I want to talk to you about two things that just really bother me about Christianity in America that is keeping us from restoring cities. See, God wants you restored first, and as we preach so many times, your family, then that area around you, because He wants to restore cities and countries, to disciple them, And there's a thinking in Christianity of let's just hang on as it gets darker until Jesus Christ comes back. It is not biblical. I don't care what movie you've seen, what book you've seen. God, Jesus, came back because He loves this earth. He is coming back, but He's not giving up on the cities. He's not giving up on people. I do not want Jesus Christ to come back now. I mean, there's a part of me that does, but there's one out of three people, if everybody that says they're Christians, one out of three people say they're Christians, a little over 2 billion in the world. If He came back now, 5 billion people would go to hell. He wants us to restore the cities and get as many of those people, those 5 billion, saved and discipled. And we're doing that. We're a small church with a small budget. Do you realize this year we're running close, over 30% of everything comes in is going to missions. I'm telling you, that is a huge number for any church, especially a church that doesn't have a lot of extra. The average church, denominational church, I don't know about independent, gets somewhere to 3 to 5% into missions. 30%. I'm telling you, we're discipling nations and planting seeds. And let me tell you why that's important, because there's a thought that's not here, but it bothers me about America, is that over 50% of the people now this year do not go to church anymore that says they're Christians. And they say, well, I can commune with God at home. And you know that's a true statement. You can get in the right presence. You can put your favorite music on. If you don't like Jason, you can put Mike on. If you don't like Mike, you can put Jason on. You can listen to whoever you want to. If Craig says something you don't like, you can fast forward it. I don't like that part. That's not for me. And you can commune sometimes, a lot of times, better with God at home. But you know, that's not the point. How many of you have seen that over and over in Christianity? Heard, well, I can commune better with God because there's nobody. That's a true statement. I don't commune with God a whole lot here. Why? Because I'm on assignment. Amen. This is my area of assignment to help us as a group get to where we need to go. I don't really get fed that much here. I'm blessed. I love the worship. I love the teachers. But I read like crazy, listen to 10 or 12 hours of other people during a month to keep myself fed up because I'm on assignment here, and that's the lie. Yes, you can stay at home and commune with God, and that's okay. We need to do that. But it's incomplete. Listen to me. The world will not be discipled by you staying at home. You have to join another group, and whatever the vision of that group is, come under that and explain the kingdom. This trip was very expensive. Besides airline tickets, it cost another couple $1,000s to pay for the pastor's conferences. I could not afford that on my own. Maybe you could. But together, we're discipling nations. Together, we're doing it. We had Joe there, me there, Tom Lunger from Christian Grove Fellowship in North Augusta. We had Ramon and his churches. So we had three churches coming together to make this thing happen. And it's cool to stay at home and commune God. Do that, but don't stay there. Because you will not disciple nations. It takes a group. Does that make sense? And one day we're going to get to heaven and we're going to have great communing with them. But He's going to say, I'm glad you communed with me. That is the most basic part of Christianity. I'm not putting it down. But you were not just put on earth to commune with me. I could have pulled you to heaven then. You were put on earth because my kingdom is moving. And I need you and I partner with you and I do not sovereignly do it. And all the rewards, see those boxes over there? You don't get them. Is this too harsh? Because you were staying at home communing, but there was a right people you needed to be with in the right time, doing the right thing. And those boxes were things you were going to do together. And welcome into my kingdom. I love you. But those rewards are either not going to be done or be passed on to somebody else. Amen. See, we get our lives together by communing with God. But then once we're good, we are on assignment to help other people get their life good with God. And the church is just being belittled, put down. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ died for you as your sins. But then He set up an institution immediately, so it must be important, called the church, where He is the head of it, and to make His kingdom go forth. It is the vehicle that we come together to make His kingdom go forth and us go forth. Because frankly, I can't really even disciple myself by myself. I can commune with Him, and it's good, but believe me, I need iron sharpens iron. I need more mature believers, ones that's not infatuated with me, that are not yes men, say, Craig, you know, that was a great sermon, but you missed it here. Or, you know, you're a great man, but you're too harsh with your kids. Well, how dare you tell me that? I'm going to go back and commune with God and hide in the back because I don't have to hear this stuff. And that's why we have powerless, immature Christians, because they will not walk with other Christians. And we say, well, I may be hurt or I may be offended. Let me ask you this. The marriage, Ephesians 5 says, we are committed to marriage. And we're to stay there and walk through it. My wife has it hard walking with me. It's not always easy to walk with me. Sometimes I'm harsh. Sometimes I'm just right. Sometimes I'm constructive criticism. Sometimes I'm not. But does she run? No. Why? Because we're in covenant. We're a family. The concept of family in the church, the Lord's restoring it. Well, you don't believe like I do. I'm going down to the next church. Well, that's just man's thing. God is a family. I know I'm preaching hard. It's not about you. It's commentary about the church. Why do we abandon our family when it gets hard? I don't abandon my wife. Some people do, but we have names for them. Just losers and quitters and, you know, get some thick skin. And same with your kids. When your kids rebel and call you names, do you abandon them? No, you go, all right, we're going to work this thing out. See, churches, ever since Martin Luther in 1517, the Catholic Church actually had this part right. You know, don't call me father. But they had the concept of family right. And in 1517, they broke over biblical truths. And I'm saying they should. I'm not saying they shouldn't have. But then, from then on, the purpose of unity was, do you believe right? Do you believe like I do? Well, 9 out of 10 points you don't believe like me, so I'm going somewhere else. That is not biblical. I'm not saying get involved in a cult. There are some core values, how you become a Christian. But each one of you, as we've preached before, is 3 R's. You need to be in the right place with the right people doing the right thing. And that is God, and this is the time. And so we work through those things like we would in a family. So the point one is kumbaya in our own corner. Let me just be blunt with you. I've already been blunt. That's just pure selfishness. I don't want to work through problems. And you will never be mature. Ephesians 4:11-12 says this. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, gave 5 gifts. Apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. For 5 things, for 1 reason, for the maturity of the saints. You will never, listen to me, be mature by yourself. You need apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and friends, and everybody else. So we can be at home and we're going to feel good. Why? Because God shows up and He loves us. And that's good. I do that all the time. But if you stay there, you're going to be weak, powerless, going, what happened? He made us interdependent, and relationships move the kingdom of God forward. Amen? Amen. Boy, I'm preaching too hard. Y'all are just all serious here today. Secondly, something that just aggravates me. Because, see, I love the church. Jesus Christ does not leave the church. Amen. He does not abandon the church. The church is where, in spite of all its imperfections, is what He has chosen as the vehicle to move Christianity forward. You've got to have something to organize people. The second thing is we have prayed for years for prophets and prophetic people to rise up. You cannot break a religious spirit with just pastors and evangelists. If a church does not have an apostolic anointing, a prophet anointing, it will not break the religious spirit. The religious spirit is too strong. You can nullify it, but you have to have that declaration. That it says that the foundation of the church is apostles and prophets because they declare, and they declare where you can go, and you can go into vision. We've been praying for prophets for years. And I've seen many prophets, people that could be prophets, come in. And so I'm going to get on my pet peeve, but there's a lesson here that ties in. We've seen many prophets come in here. They love it. They're good. About 3 months to a year later, they leave. Many of them. We don't have that many prophets because they leave. This is the mistake. When you come in, they're under an Old Testament model. Maybe you've been there. You don't have to be a prophet. Let me say it this way. Have many of you ever gone to somebody's house or a restaurant and you go, wow, this is a really nice house. I love being here. It's fun. But the longer you stay, you start seeing pieces of the house. Maybe the paint didn't cover the wall. Or this needs to be fixed. And you didn't notice it the first two or three times. Well, it was there all along. As you come in and become familiar with people, you start seeing their weaknesses and their problems. A church is just made up of people. It really is. That's all it is. You could throw this building away. It's just made up of people. And the longer you stay and you hang around me, we won't ask, you will see where the paint is not all on my personal wall. There's things that need to be fixed. Don't ask Joseph what he saw for me for 5 days living together. Probably not a pretty picture. There's probably things he saw. Man, I didn't know that was there. It was there before. You just weren't close enough to see it. It's the same with family. And so, frankly, we need to grow up. When you come in here and you get involved, you're going to see things that hopefully it's not sin. If it is, I'll repent. Hopefully it's not unethical, but you're going to see things where Craig needs to improve or somebody else needs to improve. Guess what? That's life. Amen. That's just the way it is.
Yes.
That's why you got to go, Father, where am I to be connected? Because prophets come in, if you got that prophetic bent, or maybe it's criticism sometimes, or suspicion, the gift of suspicion comes in sometimes, and you start seeing all these things that need to be fixed while I'm leaving. Well, thanks, wimp. God won't let me leave. Do you think I've not seen the same blooming things?
Amen.
And if you prayed to God, and this is supposed to be, it's easy to see what's wrong. There, you don't even have to have the gift of discernment. That's about the least spiritual thing there is. I mean, we lose people by this all the time. Well, it's not perfect. Well, go somewhere else because I know you got problems. I don't want to deal with your problems anyway. God is causing us to be mature. To say, listen, I'm committed to Joseph, Jason, whoever. And I know they got problems. It's easy to see the negatives. If you're prophetic, Ben, it's hard to get before God and say, Father, what is the solution to this? And sometimes those solutions take years to walk out. Now, that's a prophet. That's a team member. That's a family that's going to say, I'm not just... That's why I meet all the time in this city, spirit-filled people that make me want to go, ah. They come to me, they give me little words, and I say, well, what group are you helping? Well, I'm just kumbayaing at home. Well, you're of no good.
Yeah.
Except coming around and telling me how bad I am.
Amen.
Woo! It's getting hot in here, isn't it? We need to turn the air conditioner down. I'm telling you this, we need everybody to disciple nations. And it's going to take sacrifice.
Yes.
You get right with God, but then Jesus Christ was right with God in heaven. He saw the problem that man was in sin and killing each other and sexual problems. He decided to take on the form, as Philippians 2, the form of man which was lesser than the form he was in. It was a sacrifice. And he did all that he did and died and resurrected. And it didn't feel good. Because he says, I love you. And so God, as we mature and disciple and become leaders, I'm telling you, do not let the devil pick you off because you see problems. You see problems, and if you got problems, you go to the Lord, and He'll give you, help you be part of a team. It's always in part. 1 Corinthians 14 says we prophesy in part and we know in part. And you say, hey, this over here, how can I help? What's some ideas? And you pull in. And years later, you're part of growing the kingdom of God in whatever area that you are. You've matured. You've moved out past yourself. And it just made it about not about you anymore. And the nations are starting to be discipled. Your home's starting to be discipled. And you're part of a team that says, you know, no matter what I've been through, they stood with me. And they walked with me. And when I fell, they didn't shoot me because my doctrine wasn't right. They stood beside me and restored me. And I restored them. Let's stand. Y'all been patient today. It's been sandpaper today, but it's good. Because I'm telling you, We may be a small church, but we've had great influence in many different ways in this city. We've had influence in many countries. This is the third overseas trip I've had this year. And it's because of you, a heart to get right with God, do the Kumbaya sessions. I don't mean to put that down, but you come out of the Kumbaya session saying, I want more people to be Kumbaya. Come by here, Lord. You know what I'm saying? That's that old song. If some of y'all are probably old, you don't remember those songs. We used to sing them at camp. How many of you ever sing that? Come by here, Lord. Kumbaya. What about the one you remember? This was really bad. But we liked it. It only takes a spark to get a fire. I'm sure nobody knows it. How many of you actually know that song? Those are great songs. Don't sing that next week, Jason. That was not permission to sing either one of those songs. There's a season for everything. And the season, and that now's not it. I'm telling you, the anointing is on this place and on you to disciple people, to point them to Jesus. And I'm telling you, Jesus died for the church. He died for the bride. The last chapter of Revelation, Revelation 22:17. That's coming sometime in the future. It says Jesus Christ is not coming back. We think it's a sovereign event, and there is some sovereignty, but in His sovereignty, He's turned some of it over to us. It says in Revelation 22:17, at the end times, that Jesus Christ is coming when the Spirit and the bride say, come. Woo. And He's raising up a people so passionate for Him that they're going to be worshiping Him, and they're just going to start crying out, just come now. Just come now. And when that mass increases and that level of desire increases, finally God will probably just turn to Jesus and say, listen, they're not going to shut up till you come.
Amen.
Woo!
Woo!
Yes. Father, we just pray blessings on this one cry. We pray that this city will get a vision for intimacy and passion. I pray every person here will grow in their intimacy for you and their passion for you, because they have a calling to affect themselves and their family and some area outside of them, whatever your calling is. And we're going to make a difference. And when we leave and we go to heaven, there's not going to be one box that the top hasn't been taken off of. In Jesus' name. If y'all need prayer for anything, or you have something for us,